David, we were talking about Princess Diana, and you were relating some stories that you had heard.
Yeah, what happened was that after this period I mentioned before the break of meeting all these different people in America telling me the same story about shape-shifting reptilians, of course, I wasn't going to talk about this publicly because, you know, what was going on here? But then I came back to England, and I got an invite to go to the House of Lords here to talk to about three members of the House of Lords in the Houses of Parliament in London who knew this conspiracy was going on and wanted to talk to me about it. And when I was there, there was a lady who was also there who was saying some very, very interesting things about Princess Diana, who had not long died in Paris. This was 97. And afterwards, I said to the lady, hey, you know, how do you know this stuff? She said, well, my best friend is Princess Diana's closest confidant on these esoteric stuff that you're talking about. And she said, I think I can get her to talk to you. And she did. She hadn't talked to anyone else, but a friend persuaded her, and she came over to talk to me. I talked to her for hours. Her name is Christine Fitzgerald, who was acknowledged by the media here as a close friend of Diana.
Mm-hmm.
She's a hands-on healer and an alternative healer, and Diana used to go to her for alternative healing and stuff, which Diana was into. And she told me about the fact that people who had sympathy with her from within the intelligence community, like MI5 in Britain, had warned Diana that there were plots against her. All the stuff that has come out with this Burrell book recently, and the letter that she gave to him, which said that she felt there was a plan to kill her in a car crash. But in the middle of this conversation, and again, I emphasize, I hadn't talked to her or anyone else about this whole reptilian thing that had come into my life. In the middle of this conversation, she said to me, do you know what what Diana's nickname for the Windsors was? I said, no. She said, she used to call them the lizards or the reptiles.
Oh.
She used to say, in all seriousness, they're not human. And I thought, oh my goodness, not reptiles again. What's happening to me? So I said, playing the idiot, I said, what do you mean reptiles? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And she said, because this Christine works with other members of the aristocracy as well who come to her healing center. And she said, you know that the royal family is a reptilian-human hybrid. They're not the same as us.
It's incredible.
And she talked to me about, the very story that I've confirmed from so many different areas since, that there was an interbreeding which created a hybrid bloodline. This is where, quote, royalty came from, why they're obsessed with genetics,
mm-hmm.
and that these people have the ability to move between human and reptilian form. And she said Diana was aware that they weren't human. And interestingly, what she told me, and I've come across some other stuff recently that has led me the same way, that what was happening is that if the reptilian genetics, because of the interbreeding, gets too reptilian, then they simply can't hold human form because the DNA flips.
Right.
So they said that when they've gone so far along interbreeding with themselves, they have to bring in human genes to stop the rundown to not holding human form.
Mm-hmm.
And she said and people can see in my books over the years, one of the things that these reptilian bloodlines are obsessed with is blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, which seems to be very much part of the process I've just described. And this Christine Fitzgerald was pointing out that they interbred with her because they needed an infusion of those genes to stop this rundown to too much reptilian genetics. And when you read books that have been written about Diana with her not just approval but with her input to the writer, she says that once the children were born, William and Harry, that's the point where it was like, okay, don't want you anymore. And that's when the process started of pushing her out. And what Christine was telling me is that this, and this has been confirmed now ever since, that this relationship between Camilla Parker Bowles and Prince Charles,
mm-hmm.
Was going on, never ended.
Never ended, no.
And the reason they brought Diana in, even though Charles didn't want it, was because they needed that infusion of genetics. And now what do we have? We have William, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy. And One of the interesting other aspects of this is that these people, like I said earlier, are obsessed with ritual days, and they're obsessed with the cycles of the sun in relation to the earth. So the summer solstice is a real big day for them. In one of the books that had Diana's input, she says that what happened was that they told her she was going to be induced when she was giving birth to William. And when she asked why, she was told because we need the birth to synchronize with Prince Charles's polo playing program. Now, I mean, what does it say if that was true about Prince Charles? Hey, just induce the wife, will you? Give her some drugs and stuff and my child, and because I don't want it to ruin my polo brain.
I've got a game coming up.
In fact, however, that was just a story for Diana, because what the inducement achieved was that William was born on the summer solstice, which is a major, a significant symbolic day for them going back into the world. So, like I say, I talk for hours to Christine Fitzgerald, and in The Biggest Secret, I detail what she said at length, but certainly she was, that's what she said to me, and it synchronizes with what I've learned from other areas too.